Sprinter Sha'Carri Richardson will not compete in the Tokyo Olympics this month. That's after a drug test showed that she tested positive for THC, a chemical found in marijuana. Richardson has apologized and said that she used the drug while dealing with the death of her biological mother. Here's what she had to say on NBC last week.
As much as I'm disappointed, I know that when I swim on the track, I don't represent myself. I represent a community that has shown me great support, great love. And to y'all, I failed y'all. And so I apologize for the fact that I didn't know how to control my emotions or deal with my emotions during that time.
But some health experts say marijuana is not a performance-enhancing drug, and they're asking why U.S. anti-doping officials still test for it at all. Nellie Drew is a professor of practice and sports law at the University of Buffalo's School of Law. Nellie, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So why do we see the U.S. anti-doping agency still test for a substance like marijuana?
Well, because it's still banned internationally under WADA, the World Anti-Doping Association, and as part of that, you know, that international community, those are the rules as they stand currently.
You know, are there any other non-performance enhancing drugs that are banned by anti-doping officials?
There are a number of substances of abuse, which is what they refer to as items that are used outside of the context of sport. And by, what they mean by that is essentially a situation in which the substance does not affect sport performance. It's not taken typically as a means of improving performance or gaining a competitive advantage.
Now, Sha'Carri Richardson took, we don't know how, but she used cannabis in Oregon where it is legal. She was dealing with the news that she learned from a reporter that her biological mother had died. You know, for lay people, it seems like there were some extenuating circumstances and she was in a state where it was legal. Why didn't that fly or maybe even garner her some sympathy?
Yeah, Jay, you know, these are the hard ones, right? Because you feel empathy for her. And I really am impressed by how she, you know, stood up and said, yeah, I did it. I'm sorry. I apologize. And she really was very, very mature in how she handled the situation, which makes it, I guess, somewhat harder to accept it. But to give you an example, again, I mean, whether there are two separate discussions going on here, right? One is whether the World Anti-Doping Agency needs to review its list of banned substances again and think about whether or not, you know, THC should be on it. But the second piece, of course, is that their method of operation is what we call in the legal world strict liability. And what that means is liability without fault. It doesn't matter how, why, when, what the circumstances might have been, how extenuating they might have been. If it's in your body, you are responsible and you are subject to punishment. And to give you an example of the difficulty that, you know, USA Track and Field face, just on June 3rd, there was another athlete, Kamari Montgomery, who did the exact same thing and received the same penalty.
Now, one of the things that has also come out is, you know, this anti-doping committee gave Sha'Carri Richardson a 30-day ban. So she might have actually been able to go with the U.S. relay team. The U.S. relay team had some discretionary spots. They could have chosen her, and they opted not to. Do we have a sense as to why they might have not?
Yeah, so they explained that they had already notified the athletes who were going to be participating in the relay. They had announced the team numbers, and they just did not think that it was fair. That they expressed, you know, concern for Sha'Carri and empathy for her situation, but they said that they just did not think it would be fair to the other athletes that they had already notified that they were going to participate to essentially withdraw and substitute one of them and substitute her instead.
We are talking to Nellie Drew right now. She's a professor of practice in sports law at the University of Buffalo's School of Law. She's with us to talk about the news surrounding sprinter Sha'Carri Richardson, who will not be representing the United States on the track and field team because a drug test found that she had THC in her system. THC, of course, is from marijuana. The United States has sort of a piecemeal laws dealing with marijuana at the federal level. It is banned state by state. Of course, we have some leeway. We don't have anything that's uniform in many ways. It's legal in Oregon, but in some states, it's legal for medical consumption. You know, do you think that this sort of piecemeal law may have made everything just a little bit harder here as these anti-doping committees, you know, grapple with marijuana usage?
Yes, it's a very interesting conversation, especially because there is some evidence that it, particularly in sports where concussion is an issue, it may actually have some therapeutic effects. So it's a very interesting conversation we're seeing going forward. The challenge is that, you know, WADA, the USADA, the four major professional sports leagues, USA Track and Field are all private associations. And what that means is they are subject to their own rules that they create on their own behalf, and they can certainly impose restrictions above and beyond what might be permitted under state law.
You know, is this something that it's just a U.S. issue, or have we seen similar marijuana, cannabis usage issues come from other parts of the world? There's obviously the parts of the Netherlands where it's legal. Do we have anything at the international level that you're aware of?
Well, certainly, again, it's subject to nationally generated law. And the struggle that WADA has is, again, trying to impose this code across athletes from around the world with very differing approaches to all kinds of different substances. As I'm sure you can appreciate, the laws vary from country to country, just like they do here from state to state. So that, in part, is why WADA has adopted this strict liability approach. And I will say this, WADA has bent over backwards in some respects in terms of trying to provide as much information as possible to the athletes so that they are aware of what is and is not prohibited by the code.
Sentiment is changing. As we've talked about, some states have adopted marijuana laws, and it feels like there is some pressure on anti-doping officials to maybe change the ban. Do you think we're likely to see that anytime soon? Certainly not for the Tokyo Olympics this summer.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this evolves. No, it won't happen this summer for sure. That's way too close a window. But the four major professional sports leagues are starting down that road. They're having those conversations. I will tell you that each of the four handles the subject of marijuana somewhat differently. The NBA has a specific policy for it, which is very, very lenient, shall we say. And I think this conversation will continue. Ultimately, you know, how long it will take to get to the point where WADA revisits the code. Maybe this is the case that instigates that review.
And WADA, for those listeners out there, is the World Anti-Doping Agency. Do you have a sense of what, if they were to maybe change the rules, what that process would look like?
It would be a lengthy one. It would require a lot of informed discussion. It's a challenging question for sure. And I will tell you that, you know, in the world collectively bargained professional sports, the list with the contents of the banned or prohibited substances list is often very much a discussion for debate and collective bargaining negotiations. Now, of course, these athletes are not unionized, but similar discussions will occur at the level of WADA as well. You know, they'll examine relevant scientific evidence. They may very well consider the impact that athletes have as role models for others in the community. And, you know, we'll see where that conversation goes. But I strongly suspect we'll see it happening sooner rather than later.
And in the last maybe 30 seconds that we have, what will you be watching for next?
I guess I'll be looking to see what happens with athletes who may test positive in competition at the Olympics in Tokyo. That would be very interesting. Yeah. And as you may know, there were some challenges with the drug testing labs in various other locations previous Olympics. So the folks will be on the lab in Tokyo to make sure that they do a good job.
All right, Nelly, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Nelly Drew. She's a professor of practice in sports law at the University of Buffalo's School of Law. She was with us today to talk about Sha'Carri Richardson's suspension from competing and why U.S. anti-doping officials prohibit the use of marijuana.